chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. My glasses are over here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I hope they are. Somewhere here. It's embarrassing when you don't have your glasses. There they are. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Again, Lord, we pray You bless Your Word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I begin, brother was saying he likes to stand out in the street and show the Scripture sign. And I've never really done that, but I'm going to start doing it a little bit more. That sounds like a good idea. Usually when I get out there with the sign, I like to preach, but it's hard to preach on some of your highways and byways because people are going by so fast. And that's a great ministry, you know, getting out there and showing the Scripture sign. In fact, I actually got to practice it a little bit yesterday. I was down at the Buckeye game in Columbus, and there's some rowdy people down there. And I used this sign right here. It's the first time I ever did it, and I just stood out in the sidewalk while they were coming into the Buckeye game and held it there, you know. And so we've got some of those back there. You can help yourself to them. In fact, I'm going to leave everything I got here, so you'll have anything you want back there. But they were coming by, and they were looking at this sign, you know, and they were reading all the sins down here on the bottom. They said, yeah, whoremonger, yeah, adulterer, yeah, drunkard, yeah, homo, no, you know, religious hypocrite, yeah, you know. And I really enjoyed just holding that sign out there and letting the Word of God do its work. I mean, literally thousands of people went by me there while I was standing there. And I didn't get to pass out many tracts. I just held the sign. But I'd said a little bit once in a while. I'd say, repent and turn to God or something, or, you know, stay out of hell or just something like that, just while they were going by once in a while, because the music was so loud you really couldn't even preach. But just holding the sign out there. Great ministry. And so those are back there, by the way. You guys can use them out there on the street, whatever you want to do. I'm going to leave them here for you. So I hope you get some use out of them. And I really didn't have any problem with that sign. You think, oh, you'll have problems with that sign, you know, holding up homosexuality. Oh, don't say nothing about homosexuality. You know, nobody said nothing, you know. When you're out there, and you're doing God's work, He's going to bless you. He's going to protect you. Amen? No matter what. Okay, so it says here, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I want to preach this morning a little bit about the Word of God. Amen? The Word of God. You know, folks, if you're, and like we said in Sunday school today, the Bible says here, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Number one, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen? We've got a book, the Word of God, the King James Bible, the AV 1611. I've named my ministry after that book, the AV Sign Ministry. We've got a, folks, if you got out there today and you got a King James Bible, you got the preserved, inerrant, perfect Word of God. Amen. I'm glad of that, aren't you? You know, if God can create the universe, He can preserve a book. Amen. And I believe He's done it with our King James Bible. And so, number one, we have a preserved book. He said He preserved His Word from this generation forever. Amen. And secondly, we've got a powerful book. Amen. The Word of God is powerful. Amen. You know, there's a lot of powerful things on this earth. There's atomic bombs. There's all kinds of powerful things. But the Word of God, God says, is powerful. Amen. It says it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. So when you put the Word of God out there, folks, it's going to do its work. Amen. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And it'll do its work. You just put it out there, like we said in Sunday school, it's working 24/7. When you take a sign and put it out in your front yard, you don't have to get out there and coax that sign. You don't have to pay it support. It just keeps working all the time. And convicting people of their sin, and even saving people. You know, if you're here today and you're saved, you got saved because of the Word of God. God always uses the Word of God in salvation, amen, and through the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit using the Word of God to convict people, to draw people to Himself, and finally save people. Amen? The Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which abideth forever. Of His own will begot He us with the Word of God. Amen? So God uses the Word of God to save people. Amen? And then it perseveres, and it convicts us of our sin. Amen? I don't know about you, but I think that every person that gets saved is convicted of their sin beforehand. Amen? I don't think we need the great physician until we get sin sick. Amen? And that's what the Word of God does. It convicts people of their sin. I know it convicted me 43 years ago. I was telling our brother back here, we were talking about Roman Catholicism, and I was a good little Roman Catholic hypocrite, altar boy, and 10 years of parochial schooling, didn't have a clue about the Bible. We never had a Bible in our home, never saw a Bible. We had prayer books, we had rosaries, we had hymnals, we had everything but the Word of God, amen? And so when I was about 16, my mom died of cancer, my dad died when I was 17 of cancer. And I just started partying hardy after they died. I quit going to Mass, quit going to church. And I did that for about 10 years. And after about 10 years of partying, I was one miserable camper. Amen? I hated my life. I was addicted to heroin. I got addicted to heroin at the time. I was addicted to heroin for 5 years. I was a drunken, dope-dealing, hippie whoremonger. But I hated my life. Amen? I was miserable, and I didn't know what the answer was, you know, because I never received it in Roman Catholicism. They never told me nothing. When I was, a couple people witnessed to me when I was about 26 years old, witnessed to me about Christ. A couple people even gave me some Christian books. I read the book Satan is Alive and Well on Planet Earth. I read Hal Lindsey, that was written by Hal Lindsey. I read another book written by him called The Late Great Planet Earth, which was a very popular book back in the day. A lot of hippies got saved. Dope people got saved reading that book. It's still a good book today, The Late Great Planet Earth. I recommend that book to anybody. Hal Lindsey wrote that. I read Moody's book on heaven. I read Wilkerson's book on the cross and the switchblade. This is all before I was saved. I read all those books and I still wasn't saved. And so this girl that I partied with left a New Testament outside my door one day, or 250 Oakdale Avenue there in Akron, Ohio, in a flower and a vase. And she wrote on that front of that Bible, Christians aren't perfect, just forgive them. And I took that Bible in my apartment a couple months later. I said, you know, I'm going to try reading the Bible. maybe that'll do something for me, you know. And I picked up that New Testament, started reading. I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. And one night I was up there in the book of Romans, and God put it on me. Started in Romans chapter 1, got worse in 2, got worser in 3. And I was getting more convicted and more convicted about my sin. Finally, in Romans chapter 3, I read in there, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understand. There's none that seeketh after God, you know. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All the world is guilty before God, you know. Not accountable, like the new versions say, but guilty. And then I read Romans 3:20, I think it's 3:20, where it says, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. I thought, this is how a Roman Catholic thinks. You know, I think, now wait a minute. If I can't get to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments, by staying in the state of grace, by trying to be a good person, by taking the sacraments, and I'm guilty before God, just how do you get to heaven was going through my mind, you know? And finally, I read these series of verses in Romans 3:21. It says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, the Old Testament. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God saved me on this verse, Romans 3:24. It goes, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. When I read that verse, I realized me, a no good, dirty, rotten sinner, brother, could be justified freely simply by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, I did, and I felt the Lord come in my heart, and I know He'd forgiven me, and I realized that salvation was in Jesus Christ, and He began to do a work in my life, amen, and began to slowly deliver me. In fact, not slowly, quickly deliver me from, from 5 years of heroin addiction, 10 years of being a drunken whoremonger, and I can testify today, guess what? I haven't had a needle in my arm, smoked a joint, or drunk a beer, said darn, in 43 years now, all through the Lord Jesus Christ. But, you know, folks, it isn't just getting saved, okay? It's after you get saved, yielding your life to Christ, you know? Walking in the Spirit so you not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, start coming to church, getting baptized, start witnessing for Christ, giving to God, praying and communing with God. All these things tie in with sanctification, amen? So I praise the Lord. That's why I believe in the Word of God, amen? Because the Word of God convicted me of my sin, and He showed me that I could be justified freely simply by believing on Jesus Christ. So I believe in the Word of God today, amen? That's one of the reasons why we give it out, because we know that the Word of God is the answer for this world, right? There's a lot of things out there we see, folks, but we don't see much Word, amen? And people need the Word of God in this world. So it convicts us, it saves us, it warns people there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And hell's a real place. And people are going there if they don't get saved, folks. We talked about it in Sunday school. You know, I don't care what the Jehovah's Witnesses say, hell is real. And God says in hell there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. In hell, the smoke of their torment will ascend up forever and ever. God says your torment. In hell, they have no rest day nor night. That's not a pretty picture, folks. You ever have a restless night? I would like to have a restless eternity. That's what people are facing today if they don't get saved. That's why God says flee from the wrath to come. That's why, folks, we put out the Word of God. That's why we stand on streets and show people the Word of God. You know, you don't know. Some person driving down that street, they see that Scripture you're holding. God starts working in their heart and drawing them to yourself. And that's what the Bible says. It says in Proverbs chapter 1, it says this. God says this, turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will make, and he says, I will make known my words unto you. That's what God says there in Proverbs chapter 1. I will make known my words unto you. That's God's will for this world, to make known the Word of God to this world. He even used Pharaoh, you know. He used Pharaoh, a lost person. Why? That his name may be declared throughout all the earth. That's God's will for this world, to see the Word of God. Amen? And we have it, and that's why it's so important for us to use the Word of God in our Christian life, to get it out there where people can see it. And it says, I will make known my words unto you, because, and then he says this, because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Notice that there. After he says, I will make known my words unto you, he says, because I have called. God calls people through the Word of God. Amen. And they can either refuse it or they can yield to it. Amen. And come to Jesus. And so the Word of God is so important to us in our Christian life. It's important. And what else does the Word of God do? Well, it saves us, and also it sanctifies us. Amen? It sanctifies us. That's why it's so important after you're saved to get into that book. Amen? Get into that book. After I got saved, I went to a little Bible institute down here in Milford, a little First Baptist Church in Milford. There was just a few people in that little Bible institute. And I had a bus ride. I was driving a school bus for Landmark Baptist Temple at the time. And in Bible school, they started giving us these Scripture memory books, and we started memorizing them, you know, in Bible school. And so I thought, man, this is good. You know, this memory work is good. You know, I really began to enjoy it. And so what I did was I began to read the New Testament, and I would check verses out of the New Testament that God spoke to my heart about. Just put a check next to them. And I got me an old Bering Precious Seed Bible, and I cut those verses out of the Bible, and I put them in a notebook, and I began to memorize them. I had that bus driving job, and every stop I'd get down there and I'd say that Scripture and I'd memorize it while I was going to the next stop. And for 2 years I did that, memorizing the Word of God. And I remember one night laying in my bed, before going to bed down there in Milford, my little dingy little room down there, one room, I was single at the time, little room down there in Milford. I remember pillowing my head and thinking to myself, you know, it's been 2 years since I've had a bad thought. 2 years since I've had a bad thought. And folks, I was a wretched, immoral person before God saved me, amen? I was one of those guys like Genesis 6:5 that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That was more or less me before I got saved. And I thought to myself, it's been 2 years since I've had a bad thought. How can that possibly be? And the Lord said, Joe, it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Amen. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. I believe memory work is the great catalyst of Christianity. Amen. It'll do something for you. It'll sanctify you. It'll help you overcome any sin, any addiction you may have as you get into the Word of God and even memorizing the Word of God. Amen. And so, I was a missionary over there in Australia for almost about 7.5 years. And when I was over there, my first wife passed away over there. And she passed away at my daughter's childbirth, Leslie. And you know, she had a brain tumor. We didn't know what was going on. And she was about seven months pregnant at the time. She was in the hospital. And one day she just sort of, like, they were giving her IVs and stuff, you know, and she was in a lot of pain. And one day they were giving her an IV, and she just sort of went out right there in the bed, you know. And I told the nurse, I thought she had OD'd from the IV. And I told the nurse, she's OD'd. And the nurse came, what, you know, and the nurse came over there, and they started working on her. She was gone, you know. And they told me to go out in the hallway, and they came out a little bit later and said, she's gone. They put her on a respirator, and then they rushed her into the operating room, and they took Leslie, my daughter, cesarean, and pulled her out, and she was blue when they pulled her out. So I was minus a wife and plus a child all in one day. I used to go in that, you know, in that preemie ward, and I'd see little Leslie, she was 4 pounds, you know, I'd see her in that incubator. I just bawl like a baby. I'm not even a crying person for about 2 or 3 months. That's all I do is bawl like a baby, you know. But you know, I got Leslie home finally after she was about 2 months in the preemie ward, and I was single, and you know, obviously, and I had a nanny helping me out a little bit. But I thought to myself, how can I help this little girl grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? And this is what God laid on my heart. He says, Joe, go in there and get a tape player and get an old Alexander Scorby King James Bible and put that tape on, that first side of that tape, play that Bible 45 minutes every night when you put her to bed. And when you wake up, when you wake up in the morning, when you hear her waking up in the morning, go in there and flip the tape over and play it for another 45 minutes. So I began to do that. So I guess by the time Leslie was 18 years old, she'd done that. We'd done that with her. And she began to do it herself when she got older. But folks, she's probably got more Bible in her than all of us combined. Amen? But let me say this, folks. It works. It works. Amen? I don't want to brag, but God gave me a great little girl, and it was great through the Word of God. Amen? Through the Bible. I can't remember a time where she ever even lost her temper, and she's 33 years old, you know. Never talked back to us one time. She's 33 years old, you know. I credit it all to the Word of God, amen. And so I would recommend it. You know, you got kids, grandkids, tell them to get them in that Word, amen. Get them in that Word, just, you know. She'd come in my office sometimes. She'd quote half a chapter of Scripture. You know, she'd been, you know, just babbling. She'd be this high, you know. So it works, amen? And what else does the Word of God do? What else is it profitable for? Well, when you put the Word of God out, like our signs out, you take a sign and put it out, the Word of God, or a brother here holds a sign out in the street, you know? You know what it does when people go by? It encourages Christians, amen? If you're a Christian, it'll encourage Christians. Your boldness will encourage other Christians, amen? And it maybe encourage them to do the same thing, amen? It's an encouragement to people. It encourages people, and so it encourages the Christians and convicts the heathen. Amen. What else does the Word of God do? Well, when we put out the Word of God, when we believe the Word of God, it shows people that we're not ashamed of Jesus. Amen. We're not ashamed. Don't be ashamed of Jesus, folks. The Bible says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen. I don't think God has secret agents, do you? Jesus said, whosoever believeth on me shall not be ashamed. Jesus said, whosoever is ashamed of me and my what? My words in this adulterous and of sinful generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. And you know, I used to read that verse and I used to think, well, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ and Jesus comes up to us, and the people that were ashamed, he comes up to us and says, oh, I'm ashamed of you because you were ashamed of me down there. You know, that's what I used to think that meant. But the more I read that verse, I realized that didn't mean that at all. That verse means people that are ashamed of Jesus aren't even saved. Amen. You know, if you're ashamed of Jesus, you ought to check and see if you're really even saved. Amen. You know, whosoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. It's in there. So that doesn't mean we're all D.L. Moody's. It doesn't mean we're flaming evangelists all after we're saved. But God doesn't want us to be ashamed of him. Amen. And it's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that you don't conjure it up in the flesh. Amen. It's a work of God that causes us not to be ashamed of him. It causes us to confess Christ before men. Amen. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised thee from the dead, thou shalt be saved. See, that's in there. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth. Amen. If you believe in your heart. You know, there's a difference. There's two kinds of way you can believe in the Bible. There's people that believe in their head. They have a head knowledge of Christ. But the Bible says, thou believest in one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. The devil believes in Jesus. We know he's not saved. So there's a way you can believe in your head where most people in America believe they have a head knowledge of Christ. They've got religion, but they've never been born again. You know, folks, religion will send you to hell. Amen. Religion will send you to hell faster than a grease ball bearing down a hot tin roof. Amen. Satan doesn't care how religious you are as long as you never get born again. He doesn't care if you've been baptized so many times. You know every polywog at the bottom of the pond. As long as you never get converted unto Christ. That's Satan's favorite way to damn people's souls through religion. Amen. And like Roman Catholicism. Amen. The great damner of souls. The great whore. The mystery Babylon, the Roman Catholic Church. You know, one of the biggest cults in America, and it's not even mentioned in Walter Martin's book of cults, but is the greatest cult there is out there because it's damning more souls than Carter's got liver pills. Amen. And I know it because I was one. And I met some of the nicest, finest people that are Roman Catholic, but that don't mean they're saved. You know, you got to be born again to go to heaven. And it happens instantaneously, amen? Not through phony, baloney, sacramental religion, but it happens instantaneously when God convicts us of our sin and shows us salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ. Not through infant baptism, not through Mary, not through confirmation, not through the confessional, not through the transubstantiation, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. The great doctrine of the Word of God, justification by faith. Amen. That's what sparked the Reformation. Amen. Martin Luther realized one day when he was climbing those stairs, being a Roman Catholic priest, that salvation was by faith in Jesus. That we could be justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So that's what we're here for. To reach Roman Catholics with the gospel, amen. We were talking with a brother today. I saw over 25% of the population of America is Roman Catholic. And our battle today, folks, isn't with the Democrats. Our battle is with the Roman Catholicism. Believe me. And 6 out of the 9 justices in the Supreme Court are Roman Catholic. Our vice president and president are Roman Catholic. I even said, what was the other one? We said Secretary of State or something was Roman Catholic also. Many of the congressmen are Roman Catholic. You know, some Christians ought to get involved in some things. Amen? And not let the Roman Catholics take over this country. We know it's going to happen. It's prophesied in the Bible. Amen? The Antichrist is going to use the Roman Catholic Church to come into power. But then he's going to turn on her and destroy her there in the middle of the tribulation period. Amen? You say, Brother Joe, do you hate Roman Catholics? No, I love them. I love them. That's why I love them to death, because I want to see them saved. Amen. I love them so much, I want to give them the gospel so they get saved. Amen. Stay out of hell. Amen. That's our attitude. We love the sinner, but we hate the sin. Amen. And so everything. You say, you hate drunkards? No, I love drunkards. You love dope heads? I love them. That's why I want to give them gospel tracts. That's why we stand out in the streets and put out signs, because we love people. We love sinners,
and we want to see them come to Christ before it's everlastingly too late. Amen. The love of Christ constraineth us. And then lastly, let me say this. The Bible is a book of prophecy. Amen. There's a lot of prophecy in the Word of God. I love Bible prophecy. I mean, they say that some guys have said over 60% of the Bible is prophecy, either in type or literal thing. And you know, and the Bible prophesies of things to come. Amen. The Word of God prophesies that there's going to be a tribulation upon this earth where one half of the world's population will be killed in a 7-year period. Can you imagine that? One half of the world's population dying in 7 years? You can read about it in Revelation chapter 6 and Revelation chapter 9, where it says 1/4 and 1/3 of the world's population will die in a 7-year period. And the Word of God prophesies that'll happen. It prophesies that Jesus is coming. It's the rapture, amen, to take us out of here, amen. I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever meet, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. I'm looking forward to that. Amen. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you get saved, you won't have to go through the tribulation. Amen. God will take you up to heaven. You won't have to go through it. Amen. It prophesies of a heaven. Amen. I like that, don't you? It talks about heaven there in the Word of God. In the last two chapters of the New Testament, it prophesies of New Jerusalem. Amen. That's going to be our home. Amen. You ready for that one? A city coming down out of heaven, 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles long, and 1,500 miles wide. That's a big place. Amen. How would you like to live on the top floor of that? About 1,500 miles high. That'd be a pretty good view. Amen. These jets that fly in the sky, they're about 5 miles high. How would you like to be up 1,500 miles high? You say, how can you breathe up there? Well, God will work that out, amen. A city of pure gold, amen. Everlasting joy. No more sickness. No more heartache. No more sorrow. No more death. But everlasting joy forever and ever in that city of God, New Jerusalem. Folks, so that's why it's so important here today. If you're here today and you're not saved, you get saved. You come to Jesus. You come to Him. You come down here at the invitation. Let somebody show you out of the Bible how you can be 100% sure when you die, you go to heaven. We'll show you right out of the Word of God how you can be sure. And you won't have to go through the tribulation. You won't have to suffer those things. You can go up to be with Jesus at the rapture. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your Word today. Thank You for the great privilege it is to be saved. Now, as we stand and have an invitation, Lord, I pray if there's anybody here today that's not saved, they don't have a home in heaven, they're not 100% sure when they die they're going to heaven, I pray they come today. We could show them out of the Word of God how they could accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, bless this invitation, Lord. The ones that are saved, Lord, we pray You'd help them, God, just to not to be ashamed of You, Lord. Maybe they've gotten that way. We get that way sometimes a little bit. And we're all guilty of it, Lord. But help us not to be ashamed. Help us to be bold for You. Paul said that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Help us, Lord, to perfect that which concerneth us, Father. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing.